Good morning. Good morning. My name is Paul Cox. I also work with Susan Schnall on the Vietnam Agent Orange Relief and Responsibility Campaign, so I'm going to cover a couple things that she didn't cover. My disclosure is that I took money to kill people, but it was more than 12 months ago. And I'll be talking about the environmental damage and our legislative initiative. Those of you that have been to Vietnam understand that it's a really beautiful country. Historically, it was an agricultural society. It still is largely, although their economy is growing rapidly into a second world, perhaps soon to be a first world country. But one of the problems that they had during the American War, during the Vietnam War, was in addition to the munitions that she talked about, was, of course, the Agent Orange issue. We sprayed and we sprayed and we sprayed and we sprayed that stuff all over Vietnam. Approximately 10% of the herbicides that were sprayed contained arsenic, and they were aimed at rice crops, which was a war crime at the time. But 90% were other herbicides aimed at leafy plants, and in order to deny the enemy hiding places so we could find them and bring our tremendous industrial military might to bear on them. Approximately 10 to 12% of the entire South Vietnam was sprayed, and some into Cambodia and Laos, all the way from the Cao Mau Peninsula to Quang Tri Province. This is what we did to the incredible mangrove forest in the Cao Mau. This picture was taken at the end of the war in 1975. This is what the DMZ looked like, the northern part of South Vietnam. I took this picture myself back in 1969 when we were on patrol along the DMZ. And this is what 5-6 years of heavy spraying and high explosive ammunition can do to a triple canopy jungle. The Cao Mau Peninsula that I showed you, those mangrove forests have largely grown back at this point. Not that there's no contamination there, but the herbicides, the herbicide portion sort of went away after a while. It breaks down pretty quickly in the environment after it's done its damage. So the Cao Mau Peninsula, the mangrove forests, have grown back substantially. However, triple canopy jungle, which looks like this, usually never grows back. And this is a recent photograph taken of a mountainside in South Vietnam. The jungle, once gone, is gone. And while there are the Vietnamese and other international organizations are making some effort at reforestation, mostly that's intended to create timber crops, not the tremendously diverse ecology that was there prior to that. So this is, and what's taken over these hills, if they're not completely eroded away, there are invasive grasses such as this pampas grass in the near field of this photograph, and small shrubs. Looks more like Northern California than it does Vietnam jungle. A number of years ago, the Hatfield Group identified about 13 hotspots that are potential hotspots in Vietnam. Hotspots are basically areas that are still heavily contaminated with dioxin in particular. The herbicide, as I said, is mostly gone away. But the hotspots they identified were the military bases where the Air Force ranch hand spray missions were taken out of, and the perimeters around the military bases where this stuff was sprayed into the wire to protect so the grasses wouldn't grow and the weeds wouldn't grow to provide cover for attacking Viet Cong and North Vietnamese. Notice the extraordinary high-tech environmental protection these young gentlemen are wearing, because certainly we didn't want to cause them any harm. And as they poured this stuff into the environment, approximately 28 total of 28 hotspots have been identified total, not just the 13 that Hatfield identified earlier, but other studies have shown that there's probably 28 hotspots, and those studies are not complete. There's still plenty more to do. There's probably many other hotspots that have not been identified. The three that are most important are the three air bases, and I'll show a little bit about Da Nang, which was in the northern part. It was similar to the area that I was in. And at the airport in Da Nang, which is now an international airport, is some of the most heavily contaminated areas in the world. This was the storage area where so much of the herbicide was spilled on the ground that it just soaked in so deep that it's not even Even now, things won't grow there. But in 2009, financed by USAID and by the Vietnamese government, the Hatfield consultants out of Vancouver, who've really done the best work on this subject, completed a characterization of the contamination in Da Nang. The ranch hand sprays were conducted out of an area at the north end of the runways here, but all the water that rainwater was contained in swales and pipes was conducted to the north over these areas. The washdown and loading area and the storage area into this little pond called Sin Lake, and from that in the pipes out to a creek here that actually emptied into Da Nang Bay. This is a close-up of that area. This is the area that I showed you that was sprayed. That was the storage area, and then the washdown area was right here. However, so the money has been allocated. This is the what was the washdown area, and that's the international terminal just in the field. Thank you. And then Sen Lake, the city has surrounded this area, and the Vietnamese have asked this area that this be an area that's cleaned up first, and so that work is going forward. But even as late as 2010, while the city is just, that's Sin Lake to the right there, and this, you know, the houses are just on the other side of that fence, even as late as 2010, they were still allowing people to graze their cattle along this contaminated area, cattle and goats. I counted 40 head in this little herd right there just grazing along the edge of Sin Lake. But since then, the U.S. government has gotten $84 million and has stepped forward and has said, we'll clean this up. We'll take care of it. So they've built this huge containment facility. And this is a complete, it's in operation now. Approximately half of the total contamination is currently being subjected to a desorption method where they heat the soil. They have the soil in this lined reservoir that they've built, and they put heating elements down into it, and they've covered it, and they're heating the soil to approximately 300 degrees centigrade, about almost 600 degrees Fahrenheit, and then some of the stuff will be volatilized, and they vacuum that off, and they run it through a heater, but some of the dioxin and herbicides will just be destroyed in situ, and this is the. The fellow here in the white uniform is I forgot his name. He's the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the U.S. is visiting this just a few months ago. Vietnam, there are a number of standards available for cleaning up of dioxin. And there's international standards vary if you can read that small print. But in Vietnam, in soils, 1,000 picograms per gram or parts per trillion, is the standard for soils. In the U.S., for residential areas, it's also 1,000. However, they're going to clean this stuff up in accordance with their standards for sediments, which are much more likely to be taken up by the fauna in order to collect in the environment. So they're actually going to clean it up to 150 parts per trillion, which is a pretty good standard. Thank you. 94,000 cubic meters is being done. Half of it is currently being burned, and the other half will be burned in the second run. Then there are two other hotspots, also air bases, Phu Cat and Bien Hoa, that will be cleaned up. The Norwegian government has taken responsibility for Phu Cat, and they've isolated the hotspot area, and later it will be remediated. Bien Hoa is currently being characterized by Hatfield and a couple of other organizations, so they'll be able to come up with a plan. The U.S. government has not made any promises, but it seems likely that they're going to be cleaning that up. It's going to be probably three times the amount of contamination than is in Da Nang, and the funding sources for that have not yet been determined. Other hotspots that are known as the Alui Valley, also known as the Ashaw Valley, it was a location of some very heavy fighting in the middle of the war. It's a small, it's the old military base out there. It's heavily contaminated. And all they've really done at this point is run the 24 families off of that site and put a fence around it. And that's all they've done. Thank you. So we have a legislative initiative. All the help for the Vietnamese at this point to clean up these problems, to help the Vietnamese victims of Agent Orange, has been an administrative effort. Senator Leahy has gotten little riders on various bills and given them as much as I said, $84 million for Da Nang. But it's really just USAID has been doing it at their initiative with his help. So this is a legislative effort to try to get legislation to make sure that these cleanups happen. And so it's the current bill is H.R. 2519, Victims of Agent Orange Relief Act of 2013. It will die at the end of this Congress. It will be reintroduced by Congresswoman Barbara Lee early in the next Congress. It'll have a new number probably and a new date, but probably the same name. It has five elements. First is clean up the contamination of Vietnam. As I've described, it's coming together, fully, but not fully characterized or funded. Assist the Vietnamese victims of Agent Orange, which Susan talked about, in all sorts of ways, medical care, surgical services, nursing services, rehabilitation, housing, and poverty reduction, and so forth. And the third element is provide assistance to the children, affected children of Vietnam veterans, as we saw those two slides of Heather Bowser, children like that who may have been affected by their father and their mother's or their mother's exposure in Vietnam. And she showed you this long list of defects covered in the children of female veterans, but only one for the children of male veterans. The fourth element is provide assistance to the affected Vietnamese Americans, and that really really just a public health study. And then the fifth, which would be of interest to you folks, is in addition, is conduct research studies recommended by the Institute of Medicine for their biennial veterans in their Agent Orange update. They have been making recommendations every 2 years for the last 18 years. And one of those is that the VA should conduct research studies. They should query their own database. They should conduct lab studies. They should develop epidemiological protocols for studying effects of war on the children and conduct additional research on the toxicological effects of Agent Orange on aging veterans and further ranch hand study. So thank you very much. Please ask your congressional representative to co-sponsor this bill.